The last holiday we shall discuss is probably the most controversial, even in Christian circles, Halloween. It does not take a rocket scientist to figure out that there are obvious pagan roots associated with Halloween, but many do not realize it is actually a day celebrated in the Catholic Church as well. Its roots began in Celtic Ireland with a Druid festival called Samhain. During this night in late fall, it was thought that the line was blurred between the living world and spirit world, so that the souls of the dead could roam back and forth from earth to the spirit world. Not all the ghosts were friendly, so it was the practice to place food and treats outside the village to lure the spirits out of town. Additionally, animal sacrifices were offered up, and it was thought to be the best time to make predictions about the coming year. Samhain is still observed by a handful of pagans in Ireland today. Halloween may also have some roots in the ancient Roman festival of Pomona. Pomona took place on November 1st and consisted of a night of mystical merrymaking, which included laying out fruits and nuts for the goddess Pomona, thereby thanking her for the bountiful harvest. In 50 BCE, Romans conquered northern Europe, thus combining the two traditions into one. Fast forward a few hundred years, and once again, the church found herself in a difficult dilemma of trying to steer pagans away from this pagan festival that was so ingrained in their culture. Around 600 CE, Pope Gregory, in an effort to make Christianity more attractive to pagans, decided to create a Christian festival on November 1st called All Saints' Day, or All Hallows' Day. That made the night before, October 31st, into All Hallows' Eve, which was morphologically corrupted into Halloween. Also, it was called All Saints' Day to honor all the saints that did not have a day of their own. In the 10th century, November 2nd was declared as All Souls' Day to remember everyone who had died the previous year. Interestingly enough, if it weren't for Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation, Halloween might still be celebrated in all churches today, albeit in a much more religious form, much like with Christmas. Luther and the rest of the reformers rejected Halloween, not for its pagan roots, but because of its emphasis on the veneration of saints, which they directly opposed. Thus, a Christianized Halloween was severed from the Protestant church, leaving only the pagan elements. Like with Christmas, the Puritans opposed Halloween as both too pagan and too Catholic, but it was in the colonies that the modern Halloween began to take shape. Although the non-Catholic Halloween would move away from evil deeds and witchcraft to become more family-oriented, for most of its history in America, it has often been a night of destruction and vandalism. Throughout history, it has also been unfortunately associated with the religious persecution and pogroms against the Jewish people. Additionally, witches still celebrate Halloween today as one of the most important festivals in the year, even in the U.S., with much of the Celtic traditions. Because Halloween has retained much of its pagan elements, there is little wiggle room to justify its celebration. Although the majority of trick-or-treaters today are not intending to connect with spirits and gods or the past, there are those who still do. Rabbinic opinions are almost unanimous on the forbidden nature of the celebration of Halloween. Rabbi Ari Enkin writes in his Dalet Amot, "In order to justify candy collection on Halloween, one would have to accept the truthfulness of any of the following. Halloween celebrations have a secular origin. The conduct of the individuals celebrating Halloween can be rationally explained independent of Halloween. The pagan origins of Halloween are so deeply hidden that they have disappeared, and the celebrations can be attributed to some secular source or reason. The activities memorialized by Halloween are actually consistent with the Jewish tradition." Since none of these statements are true, and thus applying these halakhic rules to Halloween leads to the conclusion that participation in Halloween celebrations, which is what collecting candy is when one is wearing a costume, is prohibited. According to Rabbi Enkin, Halloween is clearly not logical and has an obvious source in paganism. Even rabbis who feel that Halloween's connection to paganism is distant and has long since been forgotten, and that it is just a silly holiday, still would not advocate Jewish participation in the holiday. So if we decide not to participate in the holiday, What about when trick-or-treaters come to the door? What should we do? Some people would say that we should totally ignore them and leave the lights off, while others would say for the sake of peace and goodwill, we should hand out candy. There is an interesting story told about Rav Palm, a kind-hearted and beloved rabbi who passed away in 2001. He felt that if the Jewish people are to shine a light to the nations, then the nations must have a positive view of the Jewish people. One of his fellow rabbis tells this story. My father-in-law studied with Rav Palm for several years back in the 1960s. When my wife's older sister became engaged in the 1990s, my in-laws took my future sister-in-law and my future brother-in-law over to meet Rav and the Rebbitzin Palm and receive their blessing and good wishes. What's the most vivid memory they all have of that evening? It was October 31st. In contrast to the many Jewish homes around the Palms who had turned off their lights to discourage trick-or-treaters, the Palms left their front lights on. While they all chatted with Rav Palm in the dining room, his Rebbitzin was in the kitchen working the hot air popcorn popper and preparing plastic baggies of popcorn to give out with a smile to all the local non-Jewish kids who knocked at the door. They all left that night with numerous smiles, blessings, and best wishes from Rav Palm and his Rebbitzin. But what they all remember most is the powerful lesson the Palms taught them about interacting with their neighbors. We can learn a lot from Rav Palm's example. We must always be on guard on becoming so heavenly-minded or so superstitious that we are no earthly good. Our convictions about God's Word should never cause us to so isolate ourselves and become so curmudgeous that we end up hiding our light under a bushel. Whether or not to participate in holidays that many of us have grown up with and have become cherished celebrations within our family can be difficult. These decisions should not be taken lightly, and we need to not only examine all the facts carefully, but we need to bathe these decisions in prayer, petitioning the Father that His Spirit will guide us. And we need to also be guided by the weightier matters of Torah. For example, honoring one's father and mother and keeping family relations intact is a far weightier concern than the long-forgotten and abandoned Roman religious practices behind the winter solstice. We need to keep things in balance. I hesitate to even speak about such things as I have on this CD, as I know how quickly division can come and how people can react emotionally to this topic on either side. For me, as I pointed out with Easter, the most tragic thing about this discussion is the neglect and total disregard for God's appointed times as prescribed in the Torah. I personally feel it is far more meritorious to steer the church back to the biblical festivals than to focus a critical, withering eye on what is pagan and what is not. After all, it seems clear from history that if the church would have stayed connected to the biblical feasts in the first place, there would not have been such a void and a need to create new festivals and adopt those of the surrounding culture.